Good morning, Life Church, San Angelo. Wow. You know what? It's great to be back home. I don't know when was the last time I was here, and this is my church. But with this Blessed Life series and Bella playing some tournaments, we've been out of town a lot. So it is good for us that we're back home, and I'm so excited to be here. And a few months ago, Pastor Walt, we were at the elders meeting, and he came to us. He says, "Hey, guys, I've got an idea." Anytime he says that, it kind of, makes us shake a little bit. And he told us how he wanted to include some of the elders into this series, The Blessed Life. I was so honored that my name was included into that. Wayne and Brandon Moore. And Brandon, immediately he was into it, hey, let's do it. Wayne kind of needed a little bit convincing, but he was like, okay, I'll do it. So I wasn't going to say no. So yes, use me whichever way you want to use me, though. So I'm thankful for this opportunity. Let me tell you that I don't take it lightly. I'd like to thank Pastor Walt for the trust that he has placed, and Pastor Dave for sharing the stage. Now, some of you know me, most of you know me, some of you probably do not know me, but I'll share a little bit about myself. And I am married to Juanita. We've been married for 31 years. So, yes, thank you. I needed that. So for the math to work, she was 8 when we got married. I'm not even going to look at her now. We have 2 daughters. We have Joanna. She's 24. Bella, she's 16. My daughter Joanna, she got married last April. She brought Jonathan to our family. Very, very fine young man. And last week, she announced that she's expecting. She's having a baby. Yes. We're going to grow the church membership one way or another, I tell you that. I'm an elder, and part of our responsibilities is to try to keep up with Pastor Walt. He brings the vision, and it takes leadership like his, to help people achieve their dreams. And for a living, I'm a business owner. We have a family business. We do have some stores online, and we have one retail store in San Angelo. It is a family business. My daughter, Joanna, she helps a lot in the store. My daughter, Bella, she helps in a lesser capacity, but she's also involved in the business. I'm sharing with you that we are starting this, we are in this Life, the Blessed Life series, and I had the opportunity to get it started in Arlington campus a few weeks ago. And if you have not been to the Arlington campus, let me tell you that you need to stop by because God is doing great things in that campus. 12 nations represented there. One of the gentlemen, he prayed in his native language. He's from Cameroon or one country from Africa. I mean, that was awesome. There's Slovakia represented, Brazil. We've got India, England, Cameroon, so many countries, though. I mean, when I was there, I didn't have an accent. I mean, it was awesome. It's like, hey, you're part of, you're good, right? Then I went to Abilene about 2 weeks ago, and Pastor Amber and Brandon, they're doing a wonderful job out there. And Abilene is more like San Angelo. It's some of the people from here, they go there. Some of the people from there, they come here. No, it's about the same. It's just a smaller campus, but God is also doing a lot of great things in Abilene. And now today, I'm here, I'm going to start this the title today. But before I do, I want to start with something funny. It works for Joel Osteen. I think it's got to work for me, right? I can probably tell the joke a little better than Joel Osteen. So let's start with this. So there's two friends, they've been friends for life since they were little kids, and they always agree on stuff in life, except for one thing. One of them argues that Jesus is white, the other one argues that Jesus is black. Well, as fate had it, they die on the same day and they go to heaven. Well, when they went to heaven, the first thing they see is they see St. Peter. So they ran to St. Peter and say, St. Peter, tell us, is Jesus white or is Jesus black? At that moment, Jesus approached them to greet them. Hola, buenos dias. Yeah, Jesus is Hispanic, if you already know it. He's Mexican, if you ask me. Jesus, right? So, this morning we're going to talk about the principle of the first. Now, in the Bible, God gives us some principles, some biblical principles. A principle, it reveals God's character. It's also a fundamental truth, it's also a timeless truth, which means a principle applies to you, it applies to me, it applied to Moses, Father Abraham. That is a principle in the Bible. Now, you're going to see in the Bible that God is very consistent. He does not change. In God, he has a desire for you and me to place him first in our life. So the principle of the first is because God wants to be first in our lives. Now, in Genesis, if you just start reading the Bible, the first verse in Genesis, Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, for God to create the beginning, it means he was there before. He was first. Before he even created time, God was there. Now, you can go to the book of Revelation, almost to the end of the Bible. Revelation 22:13 says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. I am the first, I am the last. I am the beginning, and I am the end. Now, it is established in the Bible that we're going to have some trials and tribulations. Have you read that part? It says, you know, in this world, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. I don't know about you, though, but if it's established that we're going to have some trials, I'd rather go with those trials with God first in my life, right? It will make a lot more sense. So this morning, I'm going to be talking to you about the importance of the tithe. And don't worry, I already spoke with the sheriff. She's not going to let no one leave. But no, the importance of the tithe, though, I'm going to be making 3 points, though, because it is important to God, but not because of what you're thinking, because God wants the money. It's not because of that. But I want to be making 3 points. The first point that I want to make this morning on the principle of the first is the principle of the firstborn. To do that, we're going to go to the Bible. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to go to the book of Exodus 13:1. Exodus 13:1. I might switch to Spanish. No, let's not give Pastor Walt any more ideas. So Exodus 13:1. Read with me. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me the firstborn. That word consecrate, it means set it aside. Make it holy. Set it apart. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. If you jump to verse 12, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal, which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey, you shall redeem with a lamb. Now, God is saying, the firstborn, set it aside for me. God is not saying, when you have an animal, have 10 animals and give me one. He's saying, the first one, set it aside for me. Now, I know this is the Old Testament, and you're probably saying, how does this apply to us? It's in the Old Testament, and let me just give you pretty much a timeline when this is happening. Moses is taking the people out of Israel. They just cross the waters. They are in the wilderness. They're carrying their donkeys, they're carrying their goats, they're carrying their sheep, they're carrying their lambs, because that's what is how they making a living, how they're going to be sustained through this journey. And then God is saying to them, the first one, he's saying right there, the firstborn, set it aside for me. But wait a minute, God, I mean, we're in the wilderness. We're in the wilderness. We got to have these goats and animals, and you're telling us to set aside the first male animal to you? And Wayne was talking about it a few weeks ago. God is not asking that because he wants the animal, but it's a test that he's given us. He's given us the test, and it's just a principle of faith. Now, it is the same with our income. I know that we are not in the Old Testament right now. I know that we are under grace, right? And I know that we don't have a donkey. I don't know who has a donkey nowadays. So we don't have a donkey now, but this still applies to us. How does this apply to us? Well, let's say that we just got paid. And I got to pay the mortgage. I got to pay Netflix because I don't want to miss that series. That is getting too interesting. I got to pay the car. Then I'm going to pay the light bill. One of my daughters, my kids, has a project, and I need to buy some supplies. Oh, I got to put some gas in the car. Those shoes, they went on sale. I better get them now. The tithe, I don't have enough for the tithe. And I'm not saying this happens at this church. It's another church. I think it was Arlington. that it happens, though. In this passage right here, it's also talking about two classifications of animals. Let me just read it again. Every firstborn of a donkey, you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you don't redeem it, you should break its neck. So if you don't consecrate it, if you don't make it holy, if you don't make it clean, you're going to lose it. It is kind of the same with the income. If you don't give the first part, if you don't set it aside for God, the rest, you're gonna lose it. You know. So the two classifications of animals right here, donkey and a lamb. One of them is clean. The other one is unclean. When we talk about our spiritual life, were we born clean or were we born unclean? Unclean. Now, if you have a doubt and if you have children, you will know that we have a sinful nature in us, because we don't have to teach our children how to be bad. Now, my two daughters, Joanna went to Cornerstone Christian School. Not once did we have any issues with her. Bella, she's going to Cornerstone Christian School. It's a different story. So when my phone rings and I see that it's Cornerstone, I say a little prayer real quick before I answer. Now, if it's Bella on the other line saying, "Hey, Daddy, I forgot my book. Oh, bring me my shoes. Oh, I left my lunch." Fine, I can handle that. But if I picked up the phone and it's not Bella, then I know there's trouble. About 2 years ago, the first week of school, I get the phone call, and I pick up the phone, and it's not Bella. It's the principal. And she started to tell me that there was an incident at Cornerstone, and Bella had somehow assaulted a kid, and several kids got injured in the process. And I'm like, well, I know Bella. I know she won't do that, but I need to talk to her. So, I went to school and I picked up Bella. I said, "Bella, what happened?" She says, "Well, Dad, it's the first week of school and there's a new kid. The area in the locker room is kind of narrow. And Bella, she's not bad though, but she likes to take on the role of enforcer a lot of times. And she's at the wrong place at the wrong time." many times. So this kid, he came in the locker area, and he had a backpack, and he went like, oh, sorry. Sorry. Hitting all the kids. Well, if you know Bella, I mean, she plays volleyball all year round. And from school, and from August to December, she's hitting the ball all the time. Then January to May, she's with a traveling club hitting the ball. Summertime, she trains with Eva Freeman to get stronger. When this kid got to Bella and hit Bella, Bella says that she gave him a little push. In the process, this little kid like knocked some other kids down like bowling pins, and that's how the kids got injured. So I told Bella, I mean, you got detention the first week of school. Not only that, Bella, you started on a Wednesday. You're at a Christian school. Your dad is an elder. You gotta control your emotions, mija. So the sinful nature is in us. It's already there. Now, Jesus Christ, was he born clean or was he born unclean? He was born clean, right? Now, the principles that God gives us, he used them throughout the Bible. In this passage, he says, if you have a donkey, if you have something that is unclean, you gotta redeem it with a lamb. Jesus Christ is referred as the Lamb, right? So God has redeemed us by giving Jesus Christ. He has made the unclean clean with him. And then this will show you that he will apply these principles everywhere in the Bible. Amen? Now, I want to talk to you about the next principle here. The next principle is the principle of the first fruits. We're going to go to Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 10. And he says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, how can we honor God with our possessions? It is very simple. You set aside the first part of your income, the first fruits. The rest, you use it to buy your possessions. You use it to buy your house. You use it to buy your car. You use it to buy anything that you want. And that way is how we're going to be honoring God with our possessions. Now, in this passage right here, God is talking to the farmers. And if you're a farmer, you live from the land. You live from what he produces, right? In this way, in this passage here, the farmers, they have the fruit and they throw fruit. We're going to go to Exodus 23:19 before I make the next point. So Exodus 23:19, God says, the first of the first fruit of your land, you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. If it's not clear that God wants to be first, he's asking us to bring not the first fruits, but to bring the first of the first fruits into the house of the Lord. Now, for many years, I was a financial peace coordinator for Dave Ramsey. I mean, y'all are familiar with that program. I think it was, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years that we were giving classes. And my daughter, Joanna, she was little, and she grew up with us, in those classes. And I remember that, there were some members that would tell us in the class, well, with my tithe, I would like to give it to my parents. Or my tithe, I would like to help the missions. Or with my tithe, I would like to, give it to the poor. And my response was, yes, I think that's great. I mean, that you're helping the poor and you're helping your parents. I think that's wonderful, though. But it says in the Bible that you should bring into the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. And the word bring, you know why God is using the word bring when he's talking about the tithe? Because if you're setting aside the first 10% or the first part of your income, the part that does not belong to you, you cannot give what is not yours. But you can give offerings. So the part that does not belong to you, we can bring it. And where do we bring it? To the house of the Lord. Now, I'm just kind of sharing what's in the Bible. A lot with the tithe, I know that we have two options. We can bring it or we can keep it. But how do you call it when you keep something that is not yours? I think the Bible talks about that too. Now, do you remember or do you know the story about Cain and Abel, two brothers? Now, some of you have read it. I was about 7 years old the first time I read it. My parents, they gave me this Bible for kids, and it had a lot of pictures, and it had the story of Cain and Abel. What I remembered when I was 7 years old is that God favored Abel. Cain was jealous, and Cain killed his brother. Is that what you remember from the story? Or maybe you have not heard it. So why don't we go to the Bible and see what actually says about the story of Cain and Abel and why God favored Abel, not Cain. Okay, so we're going to go to Genesis 4 to the verse 3. And please just remember that Abel, he kept the sheep, and Cain, he worked the land. So verse 3 in Genesis 4, he says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Now, when I read this, after I was 7, and it made sense, I was convicted, really. Because if you read the Bible, if you read the verse carefully, it's not that Cain didn't bring an offering. He brought an offering. God respected Abel because Abel brought the firstborn, the first part. And Cain, what did Cain bring? It says here that he brought some fruit. Not the first fruit. He brought some fruit. And when did he bring it? In the passage of time, when he got around to it. And the part that he convicted me is not that I'm not giving to the church. Is that, am I giving the first fruits? Now, with this app that we have, Text to Give, I'm doing this. I'm not saying you have to do it. But I'm making the effort to bring, no doubt, the first fruits to God. And I want to bring them on a timely manner. I want to bring it as soon as the money hits the account. Wham, I'm just going to get on the text and I'm going to send it. I'm going to bring it that way because it does not belong to me. And that's the conviction I got from reading this a few months ago. But you know what I know what's really, really crazy about this story of Cain and Abel? That I was sharing to you that these Bible principles are timeless. Now, the law was established about 25 years after this incident of Cain and Abel. It was written then. So the principle of God being first applied back then. And I was like, wow, That's something else, though. So why God didn't take Cain's offering? I already told you why. We were singing this morning that God can do it all. God can be anything he wants to be. But there's a few things that God chooses not to do. God cannot sin. God cannot lie. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. So if God is the truth, he cannot be a lie. Another thing that God cannot be is second place. So the main reason why he did not accept the offer, it's not that he didn't want to accept it. He could not accept the offer because he could not accept leftovers. If he's saying, put me first in your life, set aside the first part of your income, he cannot take whatever is left of our money that we want to give. He wants it just for us, for it to be first. Amen? Now, so far I've talked about the principle of the firstborn. I've talked about the principle of the first fruit. I want to talk to you now about the third point that I want to be making this morning. And it is the principle of the first 10%. Now, how many of you here are good with math? Okay. How many of you here hate math? All right. Well, let me read this verse and then we're going to get into some discussion. Leviticus 27:30. It says, in all of the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land, talking about the firstborn, or the fruit of the tree, talking about the first fruits, is the Lord's. It is holy to God. Now, I'm here to tell you that God does not want your money, or he does not need your money. The Life Church does not need your money. Pastor Wall does not need your money. But the Bible says here that the tithe of the land, of first fruits and the firstborn, that is holy to God, is consecrated, is set aside. How do we calculate the tithe? On what is the tithe? Well, it comes from a word from the Bible it means 1/10, 10%. So I want to ask the ones that are good with math, the rest of you can take a break. If you make $1,000 in a day, a week, a month, whatever, what would be a tithe of $1,000? 100. So $1,000, you can divide it into 10 equal parts, and one of those parts will be your tithe. Now, out of those 10 parts, which one is your tithe? The first one, according to what we've been discussing this morning, right? Now, we don't want to say that God is legalistic, but as I'm saying to you, it's more, the tithe to God is very important and is holy. And it's not because of what you're thinking. Back then when the people were walking in the wilderness, he was saying, hey, give me the firstborn of the animals, because that's how they were making a living. When he was speaking to the farmers, give me the first fruits, because how they were making a living. And now to us, he's talking to us about our first part of our income, of our increase, because that's how we make a living. But it is more special to God. I'm going to read you two verses this morning, and you're going to see why. I want to read first in Colossians 1:15. It says, He is referring to Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creations. So saying that Jesus is the firstborn. 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says, But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. You want to know why this is so important to God? Because Jesus, the firstborn, Jesus, the first fruit, is God's tithe to us. Let me tell you why. Because when he's talking to the people in the wilderness, God is saying, give me the firstborn animal. When he's talking to the farmers, give me the first fruits. He's not saying, have 10 animals and give me one. Give me the one that is sick or the one that is limping. No. Or just like Abel, just give me some fruit. No. It's not like that. It's important to God because he didn't wait for us to get it all straight. Because we were mocking Jesus. We were spitting on Jesus. We were putting Jesus on the cross. And God says, I'm going to give my firstborn to redeem all of you because you're more important to me. And that's why the tithe is important and holy to God, because it represents Jesus Christ, exactly what he did for us. The last thing that he wants is to have your dollars. He doesn't want that. In closing today, I want to read two more of the verses. Exodus 13, 14, and 15. He says, So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, saying, What is this? That you should say to him, By the strength and hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt, outside of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of the firstborn of men and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb. And he's saying here, when your son asks in time, saying, and I just picture this as people are traveling through the wilderness and the obedient farmers that had their animals, as they were having a new baby, a new calf, or whatever firstborn male, the little kid will see dad walking out there and seeing the animal being delivered and just getting a butcher knife and sacrificing the animal to God. And the little boy, he says, when your son asks you in the process of time, so it means you're going to be doing for some time. You're going to be doing this for some time. You're going to be better off. When your boy asks, why are you doing this? You're going to say, because we were in a house of bondage and we are there no more because God has delivered us from that. Now, when these topics were assigned to us, to the elders. I didn't know which one it was going to be assigned to me. And it was assigned this one right here. And when I was started going through the notes, he gave me something, though, because as I mentioned, my daughter Joanna, she was with me in every single class of Financial Peace University. And there's a section in that class that we talk about the budget, the forms. And one of those sections is I ask the students to bring the forms just to make sure they are doing the work. Not necessarily that I'm going to be looking through the, oh, you're spending too much on Netflix. No. No, just that we are doing the work. And to show the example, I brought my notes. I brought my forms with me. And Joanna, I think she was, I don't know, maybe she was 10. And she was looking at the papers. And she says, Dad, why is this amount of money right here where it says tithes? Why do we have all this amount of money? Is this how much we give? I said, yes, Joanna, that's how much we bring. Because let me tell you, just like the passage. At one point in time, your mom and I, we were in the house of bondage. Because we didn't do good with our finances. We didn't honor God. And we created a mess. But we started doing what God asked us to do. And God delivered us. And yes, I mean, we're better off now. But we were not always like that. There was a point in our lives that I remember that we were in San Antonio. We were living in San Antonio, and we had some company. My uncle called me. He says, hey, we're going to be there tomorrow. I'm on my way. And I told Juanita, we're having company. What do we do now? I mean, we're broke. So I went to the ATM to get some money, right, because my uncle was coming. And I never seen this message, but it popped up on the ATM. You didn't have enough funds. Now, what is the minimum amount that you can withdraw at the ATM? It's $20. And we were at a point in our lives where we didn't have $20. I mean, we have more than that now, thank God. But, yes, I told Joanna, we were not always like that. I gladly give God what is His. So, I don't know, where are you this morning? I just want to ask you to stand with me, please, as we close this service. First of all, God is a God of relationships. He's not legalistic, once again. He's not interested in your money, but He's interested in having a relationship with you. And He's interested in having you place Him first in your life. And I don't know this message, if it convicted you like it has convicted me. I don't know where you are. Maybe you are in a process where you're not bringing the holy part to God, but you did not know. Now you know and you want to start doing it. Maybe you are like me that, yes, we were giving to the church, but were we giving of the first fruits? Were we giving on a timely manner? I remember sometimes going through my budget and it's like, I haven't given. Oh, let me just do it now. And I don't want to be like Cain in the process of time. Or maybe you are the person that he's been doing everything perfect, like the Bible says. And maybe this message is just assuring you that you're doing the right thing. I don't know where you are. But one thing I know for sure is that if you wanted to live the blessed life, God is going to give you some principles, and we just learned about those principles this morning. I want to dismiss with a prayer. So pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Father. As we conclude our time here, we reflect on the many principles that you give us, Father, but we reflect on the principle of the first. And we want to place you first in our life, Father. So I want to ask you that everyone that is here this morning, Father, that you will give us the understanding and you will give us the ability to place you first, to embrace this principle, Father, and to take it into our hearts. Because we know that all you want is just to have a good relationship with us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue to guide us as we continue to seek you and to give you a priority in our lives. Just grant us the wisdom, Father, to honor you with our first fruits. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray this morning. Amen. Let's give him praise.